Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon, Book 2, Chapter 29. Refutation of the views of the heretics as to the future destiny of the soul and body. Let us return, however, to the remaining points of their system. For when they declare that at the consummation of all things, their mother shall re-enter the Pleroma and receive the Savior as her consort, that they themselves, as being spiritual, when they have got rid of their animal souls and become intellectual spirits, will be the consorts of the spiritual angels. But that the demiurge, since they call him animal, will pass into the place of the mother. That the souls of the righteous shall psychically repose in the intermediate place. When they declare that like will be gathered to like, spiritual things to spiritual, while material things continue among those that are material, they do in fact contradict themselves, inasmuch as they no longer maintain that souls pass, on account of their nature, into the intermediate place, to those substances which are similar to themselves, but that they do so on account of the deeds done in the body, since they affirm that those of the righteous do pass into that abode, but those of the impious continue in the fire. For if it is on account of their nature that all souls attain to the place of enjoyment, and all belong to the intermediate place simply because they are souls, as thus being of the same nature with it, then it follows that faith is altogether superfluous, as was also the descent of the Savior to the world. If, on the other hand, it is on account of their righteousness that they attain to such a place of rest, then it is no longer because they are souls, but because they are righteous. But if souls would have perished unless they had been righteous, then righteousness must have power to save the bodies also which these souls inhabited. For why should it not save them, since they too participated in righteousness? For if nature and substance are the means of salvation, then all souls shall be saved. But if righteousness and faith, why should these not save those bodies which equally with the souls will enter into immortality? For righteousness will appear, in matters of this kind, either impotent or unjust. If indeed it saves some substances through participating in it, but not others. For it is manifest that those acts which are deemed righteous are performed in bodies. Either, therefore, all souls will of necessity pass into the intermediate place, and there will never be a judgment, or bodies, too, which have participated in righteousness, will attain to the place of enjoyment, along with the souls which have in like manner participated, if indeed righteousness is powerful enough to bring thither those substances which have participated in it. And then the doctrine concerning the resurrection of bodies, which we believe, will emerge true and certain from their system, since, as we hold, God, when he resuscitates our mortal bodies which preserved righteousness, will render them incorruptible and immortal. For God is superior to nature, and has in himself the disposition to show kindness, because he is good, and the ability to do so, because he is mighty, and the faculty of fully carrying out his purpose, because he is rich and perfect. But these men are in all points inconsistent with themselves, when they decide that all souls do not enter into the intermediate place, but those of the righteous only. For they maintain that according to nature and substance, three sorts of being were produced by the mother. The first, which proceeded from perplexity and weariness and fear, that is, material substance. The second from impetuosity, that is, animal substance. But that which she brought forth after the vision of those angels who wait upon Christ is spiritual substance. If then that substance which she brought forth will by all means enter into the Pleroma because it is spiritual, while that which is material will remain below, because it is material, and shall be totally consumed by the fire which burns within it. Why should not the whole animal substance go into the intermediate place, into which they also send the demiurge? But what is it which shall enter within their pleroma? For they maintain that souls shall continue in the intermediate place, while bodies, because they possess material substance, when they have been resolved into matter, shall be consumed by that fire which exists in it. But their body being thus destroyed, and their soul remaining in the intermediate place, no part of man will any longer be left to enter in within the pleroma. For the intellect of man, his mind, thought, mental intention, and such like, is nothing else than his soul. But the emotions and operations of the soul itself have no substance apart from the soul. What part of them, then, will still remain to enter into the pleroma? For they themselves, in as far as they are souls, remain in the intermediate place, while, in as far as they are body, they will be consumed with the rest of matter. Chapter 30. Absurdity of their styling themselves spiritual, while the demiurge is declared to be animal. Such being the state of the case, these infatuated men declare that they rise above the Creator, the demiurge, and inasmuch as they proclaim themselves superior to that God who made and adorned the heavens and the earth, and all things that are in them, and maintain that they themselves are spiritual, while they are in fact shamefully carnal on account of their so great impiety, affirming that he who has made his angels spirits, and is clothed with light as with a garment, and holds the circle of the earth, as it were, in his hand, in whose sight its inhabitants are counted as grasshoppers, and who is the creator and lord of all spiritual substance, is of an animal nature. They do, beyond doubt and verily, betray their own madness, and as if truly struck with thunder, even more than those giants who are spoken of in fables, they lift up their opinions against God, inflated by a vain presumption and unstable glory, men for whose purgation all the hellebore on earth would not suffice, so that they should get rid of their intense folly. The superior person is to be proved by his deeds. In what way, then, can they show themselves superior to the Creator? That I, too, through the necessity of the argument in hand, may come down to the level of their impiety, instituting a comparison between God and foolish men, and by descending to their argument may often refute them in their own doctrines. But in thus acting, may God be merciful to me, for I venture on these statements not with the view of comparing him to them, but of convicting and overthrowing their insane opinions. They, for whom many foolish persons entertain so great an admiration, as if, forsooth, they could learn from them something more precious than the truth itself. That expression of Scripture, "Seek and ye shall find," they interpret as spoken with this view, that they should discover themselves to be above the Creator, styling themselves greater and better than God, and calling themselves spiritual, but the Creator animal, and affirming that for this reason they rise upwards above God, for that they enter in within the pleroma, while he remains in the intermediate place. Let them, then, prove themselves by their deeds superior to the Creator. For the superior person ought to be proved not by what is said, but by what has a real existence. What work, then, will they point to as having been accomplished through themselves by the Savior or by their mother, either greater or more glorious or more adorned with wisdom than those which have been produced by him who was the disposer of all around us? What heavens have they established? What earth have they founded? what stars have they called into existence? Or what lights of heaven have they caused to shine? Within what circles, moreover, have they confined them? Or what rains or frosts or snows, each suited to the season and to every special climate, have they brought upon the earth? And again, in opposition to these, what heat or dryness have they set over against them? Or what rivers have they made to flow? What fountains have they brought forth? With what flowers and trees have they adorned this sublunary world? Or what multitude of animals have they formed, some rational and others irrational, but all adorned with beauty? And who can enumerate, one by one, all the remaining objects which have been constituted by the power of God, and are governed by his wisdom? Or who can search out the greatness of that God who made them? And what can be told of those existences which are above heaven, and which do not pass away, such as angels, archangels, thrones, dominions, and powers innumerable? Against what one of these works, then, do they set themselves in opposition? What have they similar to show as having been made through themselves or by themselves, since even they too are the workmanship and creatures of this Creator? For whether the Savior or their mother, to use their own expressions, proving them false by means of the very terms which they themselves employ, use this being, as they maintain, to make an image of those things which are within the Pleroma, and of all the beings which she saw waiting upon the Savior, she used him, the Demiurge, as being in a sense superior to herself, and better fitted to accomplish her purpose through his instrumentality. For she would by no means form the images of such important beings through means of an inferior, but by a superior agent. For be it observed, they themselves, according to their own declarations, were then existing as a spiritual conception, in consequence of the contemplation of those beings who were arranged as satellites around Pandora. And they indeed continued useless, the mother accomplishing nothing through their instrumentality, an idle conception, owing their being to the Savior, and fit for nothing, for not a thing appears to have been done by them. But the God who according to them was produced while, as they argue, inferior to themselves, for they maintain that he is of an animal nature, was nevertheless the active agent in all things, efficient and fit for the work to be done, so that by him the images of all things were made. And not only were these things which are seen formed by him, but also all things invisible, angels, archangels, dominations, powers, and virtues. By him, I say, as being the superior, and capable of ministering to her desire. But it seems that the mother made nothing whatever through their instrumentality, as indeed they themselves acknowledge, so that one may justly reckon them as having been an abortion produced by the painful travail of their mother. For no accoutures perform their office upon her, midwives, and therefore they were cast forth as an abortion, useful for nothing, and formed to accomplish no work of the mother. And yet they describe themselves as being superior to him by whom so vast and admirable works have been accomplished and arranged, although by their own reasoning they are found to be so wretchedly inferior. It is as if there were two iron tools or instruments, the one of which was continually in the workman's hands and in constant use, and by the use of which he made whatever he pleased, and displayed his art and skill, but the other of which remained idle and useless, never being called into operation, the workman never appearing to make anything by it, and making no use of it in any of his labors. Then one should maintain that this useless and idle and unemployed tool was superior in nature and value to that which the artisan employed in his work, and by means of which he acquired his reputation? Such a man, if any such were found, would justly be regarded as imbeciles, and not in his right mind. And so should those be judged who speak of themselves as being spiritual and superior, and of the Creator as possessed of an animal nature, and maintain that for this reason they will ascend on high and penetrate within the Pleroma to their own husbands, for according to their own statements their souls are themselves feminine, but that God the Creator is of an inferior nature, and therefore remains in the intermediate place, while all the time they bring forward no proofs of these assertions. For the better man is shown by his works, and all works have been accomplished by the Creator. But they, having nothing worthy of reason to point to as having been produced by themselves, are laboring under the greatest and most incurable madness. If, however, they labor to maintain that while all material things, such as the heaven and the whole world which exists below it, were indeed formed by the Demiurge, yet all things of a more spiritual nature than these, those namely which are above the heavens, such as principalities, powers, angels, archangels, dominations, virtues, were produced by a spiritual process of birth, which they declare themselves to be, then in the first place we prove from the authoritative scriptures that all the things which have been mentioned, visible and invisible, have been made by one God. For these men are not more to be depended on than the Scriptures, nor ought we to give up the declarations of the Lord, Moses, and the rest of the prophets, who have proclaimed the truth, and give credit to them, who do indeed utter nothing of a sensible nature, but rave about untenable opinions. And in the next place, if those things which are above the heavens were really made through their instrumentality, then let them inform us what is the nature of things invisible. Recount the number of the angels and the ranks of the archangels. Reveal the mysteries of the thrones, and teach us the differences between the dominations, principalities, powers, and virtues. But they can say nothing regarding them. Therefore these beings were not made by them. If, on the other hand, these were made by the Creator, as was really the case, and are of a spiritual and holy character, then it follows that he who produced spiritual beings is not himself of an animal nature, and thus their fearful system of blasphemy is overthrown. For that there are spiritual creatures in the heavens, all the scriptures loudly proclaim. And Paul expressly testifies that there are spiritual things when he declares that he was caught up into the third heaven, and again that he was carried away to paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. But what did that profit him? Either his entrance into paradise or his assumption into the third heaven, since all these things are still but under the power of the Demiurge, if, as some venture to maintain, he had already begun to be a spectator and a hearer of those mysteries which are affirmed to be above the Demiurge. For if it is true that he was becoming acquainted with that order of things which is above the Demiurge, he would by no means have remained in the regions of the Demiurge, and that so as not even thoroughly to explore even these. For according to their manner of speaking, there still lay before him four heavens, if he were to approach the Demiurge, and thus behold the whole seven lying beneath him. But he might have been admitted, perhaps, into the intermediate place, that is, into the presence of the Mother, that he might receive instruction from her as to the things within the Pleroma. For that inner man which was in him and spoke in him, as they say, though invisible, could have attained not only to the third heaven, but even as far as the presence of their mother. For if they maintain that they themselves, that is, their inner man, at once ascends above the demiurge and departs to the mother, much more must this have occurred to the inner man of the apostle. For the demiurge would not have hindered him, being, as they assert, himself already subject to the Savior. But if he had tried to hinder him, the effort would have gone for nothing. For it is not possible that he should prove stronger than the providence of the Father, and that when the inner man is said to be invisible even to the demiurge. But since he, Paul, has described that assumption of himself up to the third heaven as something great and preeminent, it cannot be that these men ascend above the seventh heaven, for they are certainly not superior to the apostle. If they do maintain that they are more excellent than he, let them prove themselves so by their works, for they have never pretended to anything like what he described as occurring to himself. And for this reason, Paul added, whether in the body or whether out of the body, God knoweth. That the body might neither be thought to be a partaker in that vision, as if it could have participated in those things which it had seen and heard, nor again that any one should say that he was not carried higher on account of the weight of the body. But it is therefore thus far permitted, even without the body, to behold spiritual mysteries which are the operations of God, who made the heavens and the earth, and formed man, and placed him in paradise, so that those should be spectators of them, who, like the apostle, have reached a high degree of perfection in the love of God. This being, therefore, also made spiritual things, of which, as far as to the third heaven, the apostle was made a spectator, and heard unspeakable words which it is not possible for a man to utter, inasmuch as they are spiritual. And he himself bestows gifts on the worthy, as inclination prompts him, for paradise is his. And he is truly the Spirit of God, and not an animal demiurge. Otherwise he should never have created spiritual things. But if he really is of an animal nature, then let them inform us by whom spiritual things were made. They have no proof which they can give, for this was done by means of the travail of their mother, which they declare themselves to be. For not to speak of spiritual things, these men cannot create even a fly or a gnat, or any other small and insignificant animal, without observing that law by which from the beginning animals have been and are naturally produced by God, through the deposition of seed in those that are of the same species. Nor was anything formed by the mother alone, for they say that this demiurge was produced by her, and that he was the Lord, the author of all creation. And they maintain that he who is the creator and Lord of all that has been made is of an animal nature, while they assert that they themselves are spiritual. They who are neither the authors nor lords of any one work, not only of those things which are extraneous to them, but not even of their own bodies. Moreover, these men, who call themselves spiritual and superior to the Creator, do often suffer much bodily pain, sorely against their will. Justly, therefore, do we convict them of having departed far and wide from the truth. For if the Savior formed the things which have been made by means of the demiurge, he is proved in that case not to be inferior, but superior to them. Since the demiurge is found to have been the former even of themselves. For they too have a place among created things. How then can it be argued that these men indeed are spiritual, but that he by whom they were created is of an animal nature? Or again, if, which is indeed the only true supposition, as I have shown by numerous arguments of the very clearest nature, if he, the Creator, made all things freely, and by his own power, and arranged and finished them, and his will is the substance of all things, then he is discovered to be the one only God who created all things, who alone is omnipotent, and who is the only Father, rounding and forming all things, visible and invisible, such as may be perceived by our senses and such as cannot, heavenly and earthly, by the word of his power. And he has fitted and arranged all things by his wisdom, while he contains all things. But he himself can be contained by no one. He is the former, he the builder, he the discoverer, he the creator, he the Lord of all. And there is no one beside him or above him. Neither has he any mother, as they falsely ascribe to him. Nor is there a second God, as Marcion has imagined. Nor is there a pleroma of 30 aeons, which has been shown a vain supposition. Nor is there any such being as Bythus or Proarche. Nor are there a series of heavens. Nor is there a virginal light, nor an unnameable aeon, nor in fact any one of those things which are madly dreamt of by these and by all the heretics. But there is one only God, the Creator, he who is above every principality and power and dominion and virtue. He is Father, he is God, he the Founder, he the Maker, he the Creator, who made those things by himself, that is, through his word and his wisdom. Heaven and earth, and the seas, and all things that are in them. He is just, he is good. He it is who formed man, who planted paradise, who made the world, who gave rise to the flood, who saved Noah. He is the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of the living. He it is whom the law proclaims, whom the prophets preach, whom Christ reveals, whom the apostles make known to us, and in whom the church believes. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his word, who is his Son, through him he is revealed and manifested to all to whom he is revealed. For only those know him to whom the Son has revealed him. But the Son, eternally coexisting with the Father from of old, yea, from the beginning, always reveals the Father to angels, archangels, powers, virtues, and all to whom he wills that God should be revealed. For according to their manner of speaking,